Support comes from the Norton Simon Museum, presenting I Saw It, Francisco de Goya, Printmaker. This exhibition features all four of the Spanish artists' major print series in their entirety for the first time on the West Coast. Now on view. More at NortonSimon.org.
You have the chance to win a Spring Super Sweeps from LAist. Donate $60 for one entry to win a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Check out all the other prizes, too, when you donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.
It's Air Talk on KPCC. Coming up later this hour, Ken Bernstein, his new book, Preserving Los Angeles, How Historic Places Can Transform America's Cities. Fantastic photography by Stephen Schaefer in the book as well. Places I had no idea about, and I thought I was reasonably well-versed on historic Los Angeles, but a page after page, a revelation for me. We'll talk with Ken coming up later this hour, but right now, my pleasure to have with us Dr. Dean Blumberg, who's professor of medicine and chief of pediatric infectious diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital. Dr. Blumberg, welcome back.
Thanks, Larry. You know, your previous discussion was really fascinating, and it just struck me that, you know, addressing things like structural racism and the housing crisis, I mean, that makes COVID seem simple, doesn't it?
Yeah, what you're fighting against, what you're trying to engineer around is something that, you know, is much more clear-cut, and you can do that work in a laboratory.
Right, exactly, under controlled conditions, yeah. And create vaccines. And then, of course, we do have problems with delivering the vaccine, but that's another story.
Well, and speaking of which, it would appear we're going to be awash in vaccine pretty soon. Looking at the percentages of people who've been vaccinated now, are we just, say, 3 weeks away from having vaccine with no takers?
Yeah, that's what the models suggest. And so we know that there was a lot of demand for vaccines at the beginning. And we also know that there are still people who are vaccine hesitant or really anti-vaccine. And so as the people who want the vaccine get vaccinated, there eventually will be more vaccine available than people demand, than people want. And so this is going to be the more challenging part of the vaccine delivery, is really trying to convince those who are hesitant or reluctant to be vaccinated that we do have safe and effective vaccines.
We also have in other countries reports of fake vaccines. Pfizer has identified some fake vaccine that has apparently had its name on it that has been administered in Mexico and other countries outside the United States. Is there any concern that phony vaccines could be introduced here in the U.S.?
Well, I think they could be introduced in the U.S., but I think the system in the U.S. is pretty robust in terms of vaccine safety. The lot numbers in general are entered into the record, and so there's a check there. The vaccine distribution is carefully controlled in the U.S., so I have not heard that happen in the U.S., but it's really sickening to hear that happening in other parts of the world.
Yeah, well, and who knows what's in the fake vaccine, and not just that someone who thinks he or she is vaccinated isn't, but who knows if there's potentially toxic substances in that liquid.
Right. You don't even know what's being injected. It's, you know, it could be contaminated. You could get an infection from it. Who knows? And that's why it's so important to have confidence in our vaccines.
There is a planned very small-scale study taking healthy young people who have had COVID-19. They're being asked to volunteer for a trial that would deliberately expose them to the virus. The idea is to see how does the immune system for someone who's had COVID-19 respond the second time when the virus is reintroduced to them. The idea is to help design better vaccines and treatments. Up to 64 people aged 18 to 30 would spend 17 days in a quarantine unit of a hospital suite and have test after test after test, lung scans, all of that. And it would be the original Wuhan strain that would be introduced to them in this controlled environment. Your thoughts about this study? I mean, I could see where it'd be beneficial, but at the same time, I can't imagine spending 2.5 weeks of your own free will in a hospital suite.
Yeah, that is that would be a real challenge. You know, the UK has a long history of doing really wonderful research related to these challenge with respiratory viral infections, and so they did a lot of studies before with influenza virus, with respiratory syncytial virus. So they've got a lot of experience with that, and there's been a whole lot of really wonderful knowledge that you can acquire from these kind of studies that you just can't acquire any other way. So it's really a unique opportunity to learn about what the immune response is like, what can prevent infection, how robust the response is, and look into real nuances as you can test people, you know, exactly a certain amount of time after they've become infected, and then observe them and make sure that they are safe. So there's the opportunity to give them the antibody treatments if they become symptomatic to prevent serious disease.
Now, with just up to 64 people, would that provide statistically significant results? I guess, you know, the using that they're all otherwise healthy individuals gives you some degree of consistency, but otherwise I would think there could be a wide range of things affecting immune response.
Yeah, that's exactly true. So it is a small study, but if you've got 10 people who are similar in age and they're healthy and they have no pre-existing conditions, then you've controlled for a lot of the variability already. So I think starting from that point, you can get some significant results.
We're talking with Dr. Dean Blumberg, UC Davis Children's Hospital. He's pediatric infectious disease specialist, professor of medicine at UC Davis Medical. We're at 866-893-KPECC. If you have questions for Dr. Blumberg, who joins us weekly, 866-893-5722. The State Department has put out a warning to travel for something like 80% of the world because of outbreaks of COVID-19. Do you think that is medically justified, Dr. Blumberg?
Yeah, worldwide, we're seeing spikes in so many countries now. I mean, we're all familiar with what's going on in several countries in Latin America and Africa, many countries in Europe and in Asia. So all over the world, we're seeing a surge in cases. There's very few places that aren't seeing a surge now. Unfortunately, you know, the U.S. is in a relatively good place, along with other countries such as the U.K., Taiwan, Iceland, and there's just a handful of countries that have really done well controlling transmission currently.
You know, I talk with or hear from people who are still you know, very amped up about the virus because of the very real concerns about what it would mean for their health if they contracted it. Now we're in this period where there's a lot less COVID-19 around us. It's still there. We have variants that we're still trying to understand the degree to which the vaccines provide protection for those variants. But what would you say to those who still are having this perception that, you know, they're taking their life in their hands when they step outside their home?
Well, we're never going to, I don't think we're ever going to get to zero risk. And so that's the understanding that we're going to need to get to, is that everybody has different risk tolerances. And we've all been hyped up to be scared of being with people without wearing a mask, or if somebody coughs, you know, it makes us nervous in this day and age. So as we return to normality, as we get more people vaccinated, as there is more immunity within our communities, we are going to go back to some socializing, some large gatherings in person. Eventually, we're going to not be masking in public. And I think that's going to be an adjustment for everybody. And again, people are going to have different risks and risk tolerances, and they're going to have to come to an understanding. And that can be done gradually. It doesn't have to be all at once. You know, we don't have to all rip off our masks and be in a stadium with like 100,000 other people. You know, they're...
That still makes me nervous. My palms are getting sweaty.
Sorry.
No, but it's funny. It's like we've so trained ourselves to, you know, to have that kind of visceral response to the risk. That's going to take a long time, I think, for some of us to get out of that immediate response.
Oh, I fully understand that, and I've experienced that myself. And so I think, you know, people need to be generous with themselves, be forgiving with themselves, and just really take small steps and not try to change everything at once. Because we've been, you know, this last year, we've been through an awful lot with changing our norms.
Dr. Blumberg, I want to thank you so much for being so flexible with us today. I know that we've moved you around in your schedule a lot because of news events and issues that we needed to deal with this morning. So I want to thank you not just for your expertise and your consistently good-natured about providing it, but also your flexibility with scheduling, because we know you're a very busy man and really do appreciate it.
Oh, well, thank you. I'm glad that I had the opportunity to be flexible today.
Well, thanks. We look forward to talking with you next week, and hopefully we'll have a time and it'll stick. So thank you very much, sir.
Sounds good.
Thank you.
Stay safe.
Thank you. Dr. Dean Blumberg, Professor of Medicine, Chief of Pediatric Infectious Diseases at UC Davis Children's Hospital. You know, that's kind of what goes on behind the curtain that you don't necessarily perceive when you listen to Air Talk, is the kind of flexibility that we ask of our guests in so many cases, and remarkably, the graciousness of our guests, just so consistent. We'll continue in just 90 seconds on Air Talk with Ken Bernstein. His new book, Preserving Los Angeles, How Historic Places Can Transform America's Cities, fantastic photos by Stephen Schaefer, and all kinds of historic places, not just that I hadn't seen photos of, that I wasn't even aware of. And this is something I really dig. So there's a lot to learn in the book for everyone. We'll be back in 90 seconds.
The LAist Spring Super Sweeps is happening now. You can win amazing prizes while supporting your source for local fact-based journalism. One lucky grand prize winner will get to choose a brand new Lexus or $25,000 in cash. Other prizes include an electric bike from Juice Bikes and $1,000 gas gift cards. Your donation of $60 gets you one entry to win. And the more you give, the more entries you get. Donate now at LAist.com/sweeps.